This episode is brought to you by DN6.
Oh.
Hey, Alex.
Yes.
Have you ever wanted to kill everything in your backyard?
Yes.
Then you'll love today's episode sponsor, DN6. The insecticide that kills not only the insects that you don't want to kill, but the ones you do want to kill.
Wow.
And just don't listen to the news, but just go straight to their website and put in the code FANTHEFOOL, and you can kill as many insects as you want.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Good.
Welcome to episode 20.
Is it 20?
We've made it.
Oh, just like 2022.
Oh.
Is it 2022?
No, that's what people have been saying. They don't like this year because it's 2020.
Times two.
Two, T-double-O.
Oh, T-double-O.
As in...
Because I was thinking 40-40. We've been watching lots of tennis.
Oh.
And yeah, I know every week I have an excuse for being tired as well.
Yeah.
My excuse today is I had my booster shot.
Tennis?
Had my booster shot.
Oh, boosty.
Yeah. So now I'm... now my 5G's really good.
It's a conspiracy. Trying to control our minds.
That's not what you really believe, is it? I'll have to ask you to leave.
But I'll be able to track you through the 5G.
That's exactly how it works. Okay.
Yo.
So, how's your day?
It was good. I watched 4 episodes of Doctor Who. And
me too.
I enjoyed every single one of them.
I love this. I've got some trivia about it.
To start?
No.
What's up to you?
When we get to there.
Oh. Well, of course you do.
We've got a thing to do first. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to record a thing now, and I want you to see if you can put it at the start of the episode.
Okay.
And you can leave this bit in as well if you want.
Sure.
You ready?
Ready.
Hey, Alex.
Yes.
Have you ever wanted to kill everything in your backyard?
Yes.
Then you'll love today's episode sponsor, DN6. The insecticide that kills not only the insects that you don't want to kill, but the ones you do want to kill.
Wow.
And just don't listen to the news, but just go straight to their website and put in the code FANTHEFOOL, and you can kill as many insects as you want.
Okay. I'm so lost.
Now I want you to try and guess.
Okay.
What is DN6? I've deliberately picked something from a previous episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, from the Giants.
Yes.
Insecticide, yes.
There you go. So I think we should have each episode is brought to us by something from a previous episode.
I like that's a great idea. Because, let's face it, it may happen one day, but it's a long time before we see any sponsors. If ever. So let's have some fun with it.
So yeah. I'll just pick something.
So you want this at the start, so it's like, this show is brought to you by...
Yeah, yeah.
Before the theme tune?
Yeah.
Done.
Just chuck it in there. And then we'll talk about it more in the episode, so
yeah.
People can work out the code that they don't use to get the insecticide that they don't ever want. Now, the question I have for you is, do you want me to just use things from previous episodes, or do you want me to use anything from Doctor Who?
As long as it's not going to spoil things, being like,
yeah,
okay.
No, we'll use previous episode stuff.
Okay.
And maybe I'll just tell you the sponsor before you turn up, so you can be like, oh, do I want all my plants to be dead?
No, I think we should do it on the fly, and I have to try and guess the right answer.
Yeah.
And then you've got to work with whatever is said.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Excellent.
All right, there you go.
Our show evolves. Episode 20, we now have fake sponsors. Is it Doctor Who?
Who? That was pretty good.
Good one, yeah. We're getting locked down now. It's blonde.
It is blonde.
Yes.
Do you want to keep going?
Okay, well, it's one of those... Are they called Amiibos? Or...
No, buddy. That's a...
Pop.
Pop vinyl.
Pop vinyl.
Did you check by looking at my Mandalorian pop vinyl?
Yeah, because I knew I'd seen one of the boxes somewhere. Well, there's also another one over there. It's also the Mandalorian. Why do you have so many Mandalorians?
One of them's Boba Fett.
Oh.
And one of them's a decent Mandalorian.
Oh. Hey, are you talking about that franchise that hasn't been good since the movies in the 70s?
Anyway.
So it's a pop vinyl.
All you know at the moment is it's blonde.
Well, it's a person who has very bold brown goggles on.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're wearing an apron.
Yeah, they are wearing an apron.
And they're holding something which to me looks like the sonic screwdriver. It might not be, but...
Yep.
Oh, sound effects. So I'm going to say that it's... I might be wrong. I don't know if it is a Doctor Who. It might be a character from Doctor Who, but it is from the show Doctor Who.
It is. That is the Doctor. That's the 13th Doctor.
Oh, okay. So this is...
This is Jodie Whittaker.
Right.
And she is holding this.
Oh.
That's when she makes it.
Oh, okay. It looks very different there because it's got a red tip on it or something. I thought it was.
No, it's orange. You're just crazy.
Oh.
So there's two things I want to talk about.
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Audio episodes.
Radio play.
Radio play.
It's either current episode or radio play.
Well, I listened to two.
Oh, okay.
I think I did two last week.
You are the fan. You like a lot of Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll go for a walk and I like... The short, I've been listening to a lot of the short trip ones because I got a box set of them.
Yeah.
So I listened to two. So the first one I want to tell you about is awesome.
Is that what it's called?
No, it's called Landbound.
Oh.
It's set between two episodes, two very significant episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars the third Doctor, John Pertwee.
Right.
And he's all like sad about his TARDIS is a bit broken. And so... He kind of lets out some anger because he's actually a bit more of a, like a fighter. He's a bit
So, I remember you telling me that.
So he beats up some people. Bad people.
That makes it okay.
But then he has like a whole conversation with this guy who owns a pub. And the guy who owns the pub is like, I used to sail a ship, but now I'm no longer allowed to. And the doctor's like, I used to fly a thing and I no longer can. And so they have like a deep chat. And so it's done from the perspective of the other guy.
But, talking to the doctor.
Yeah. And the second, so that one.
Yes.
Can recommend.
How many out of 13? 11. 11 out of 13 doctors. Yep,
perfect.
Wow.
Well, no, perfect would be 13.
That's not perfect, yeah. Well, look, near perfect.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. For a short trip... I'll give it a 13.
Ooh.
I think it's a list, it's particularly if you're a really big fan of the classic series, because this is like, this episode just ended and this just continues from that point.
So it's like perfectly in between two episodes.
He literally gets in a car and drives out of the episode and into this audio play.
That's cool.
The other one I listen to is called...
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of radio play number two.
Is called The World Beyond the Trees. This one involves Liv Chanka, who is like a companion of the Eighth Doctor.
Hmm.
And she... You don't meet her because she's like a radio play companion. But she is extremely popular because she's played by Nicola Walker, who's like a famous British actress. She's in lots of things. She's in all of the things.
Yep.
If you see her, you'd be like, yeah, I've seen her in...
Nicola Walker?
Nicola Walker.
You keep going, I'll look it up.
It's from her character's perspective, and the Doctor is gone, and there's a threat on Earth, and she has to, like... She's like, the Doctor's not here, and I have to deal with this.
Wow.
And she does it with that kind of attitude, too. She's like, I guess I'm doing stuff.
Oh, yes, I know her very much. Yeah. I know her from Spooks.
Yes, she is in Spooks.
Yes. I didn't know that was her name. I know that actress very well. For some reason, it sounded like a young person's name to me.
Well, it's funny because she was in a radio play as just like a one-off with the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy. And she was so popular that they were like, can you come back? And now she's just been with Paul McGann's Eighth Doctor forever, you know.
Right.
So she's like a... She's in. She's like, she is a companion. So everyone loves her.
She's an excellent actress, so I can see how voice work, it must sound amazing, I guess.
Yeah.
What she can put into the character.
And I think because Paul McGann's quite a respected British actor as well, that the two of them together, it's like, oh, hello.
Right. Cue the love music?
Nah, there's nothing like that. She doesn't want a bar of him like that.
No, I just mean
she's like, this guy's a strange alien. But we get to fly in a box together, so that's cool.
Wow, is that every companion? That's literally Ian and Barbara for two seasons now. Wow, this guy's a weird alien, but wow.
Now, you remember how I said I have to tell you some trivia in the next episode, The Chase, about the Romans?
Yes.
I have to also tell you trivia about the next episode, The Chase, about this episode.
Okay. I'll make a footnote. So there's two lots of trivias.
Yeah, from two different episodes.
That is relevant once we get to the chase.
Yes.
But remember, the chase is six episodes.
Yeah.
So are we going to have to wait till the end?
Yeah.
All right.
Because otherwise it might ruin it. I don't think it will ruin it, but it's just because the episodes are linked.
So it's a couple of podcast episodes away.
Yeah. Should we talk about the current episode?
Yes.
Space Museum. The Space Museum. Yes. There you go. You happy?
I am.
You happy?
I'm happy because these were good episodes. It's been a while.
Solid. Like, yes. Very good. And I'm going to tell you some trivia straight off the bat.
Yep.
This was Glenn...
Jones. I wrote it down.
I wrote it down here too as well. For some reason, I was looking at my screen. But it's right here.
You know why I wrote it down?
Because you thought it was Terry Nation?
No, because, it felt good, but I was like, okay, here's the second writer that I'll allow to keep writing
episodes. This is the first one that he wrote. Now, before you go bananas for him...
Okay.
He wrote this, and it was edited. So, before you're like, oh, I love this guy, because I thought that too, it was edited by Dennis Spooner, because he felt that the first draft, or the original draft...
Yeah.
Had too much comedy.
Oh.
So...
And I've seen that name before. Is he a writer on the show from previous?
Yes, he is. Okay. He did something else.
I remember seeing that name during our time watching the show.
He did The Reign of Terror.
Mm-hmm.
And he did The Romans.
Oh.
And now I feel like he did The Romans and then he was like, that was a mistake. Don't do the same thing I did.
Let me save you from my struggles.
So, and he does the last arc of this season as well, I think.
Okay.
Which I'm looking forward to because that's one of the... So the next two stories are both very significant to like the overall lore of the Doctor.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it.
So the Chase and the Time Meddler.
Yes, okay.
Both good. And I think that's the season.
It is. But the chase is like six episodes, so it's a while still to get through.
So we're feeling good about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us where we start?
Well, we start in the TARDIS. And actually, it's funny because the crew's there in their regular clothes, sensible chuckle. And I thought to myself, they're not wearing the clothes from the last episode.
Yeah.
But that's the point, because they the characters themselves realize that and say to the Doctor, what happened? Why are we suddenly in different clothes?
Yeah, and it's like they skipped forward time.
Yes.
So they've gotten changed, they put their clothes away and everything.
But it's like they don't remember it happening.
They don't remember it happening.
But you know what's weird is the Doctor is so dismissive of it. But he's the guy that loves to investigate science things.
Yeah, because I guess he's like, we must have done it. We must have gotten changed.
He's just over it.
Yeah, and
as later he's on, accepted
when,
it.
And later on, when they start to realize there's other things happening that suggest that that might not be, you know, as innocent as it sounds, you know,
mm-hmm.
Then he's like, yeah, I guess there is more going on here.
Right.
But I just love that idea because obviously it's one of those things where like maybe the TARDIS, because they never fully investigate how that jump forward happened.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the TARDIS is like, we're going to be in trouble. So I'm just pushing you to this point.
Right.
So you can see the trouble that you're going to get into.
Yeah. Okay. Because right at the end, I thought it was suggested that it's
like a little thing.
Yeah, but isn't it like a glitch? Or is he saying, this saved us?
I guess it is a glitch.
I thought he was like saying, oh, I found the error, it's this.
Yes, he did say that.
Oh, okay.
But I still think that...
The TARDIS used it to his advantage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So I put that the first comment is immediately on clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was interesting.
They love dress up.
And I at first was like, this is no... bearing on the episode. I was just like, oh, okay, they just want to quickly change clothes. So the TARDIS just went, you're done.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny. There was a moment where the first doctor, because obviously it's more significant than I thought it was going to be, but the first doctor's like, go check and make sure our clothes that we were wearing are away in the cupboards. And he just says at the end, and bring me back a glass of water. But we do see the return of the complicated water machine. Mm-hmm. It's just got like water in stickers all over it. And she pushes the button and she gets a glass of water.
It actually seems more convoluted than how we get water now.
It's just a tap?
Yeah, because she presses a bunch of buttons, and for maybe 10 seconds, it's making computer noises.
And it's just a glass of water. You know, like, it's not like the food machine thing.
Yeah.
It's just a big water machine. It's not like, just get a water cooler.
Man, imagine if you're thirsty. You get that glass, you drink it, you put it back, you've got to press the buttons, you've got to stand there.
I will say what was really cool, and I think not just the writing, but the camera work, like, went up another level, I think. Because she dropped that glass.
Yes.
And then it rewound back into her hand.
Yeah.
So there's a point where she gets the doctor glass of water and she actually drops it. But then it just reformed, like it just rewinds back into her hand.
Yeah.
Prince of Persia style.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like even the way it looked really cool. And I know that's just like a rewind effect. But back then.
It worked.
Yeah.
Oh, that, see, when that happened, I immediately thought, these are going to be good episodes.
Yeah.
I just had a feeling it wasn't going to be some, like, just fighting a group of people. It was, like, going to be some sort of dense, time-related story to do with it skipping backwards and forwards. So, I was already on board.
The Doctor kind of dismisses that as well. So, Vicky's like, our clothes are back. And he's like, I heard you smash a glass of water. Did you clean it up or whatever? And she's just like, no, it's the one that's in your hand. And they consider going outside, and the doctor's like, the readings all say it's safe. And I think Barbara says, the readings don't tell us everything.
Yes.
And she's great in these episodes. And so is Ian.
Yeah.
I was like, is that guy a science teacher? Because, you know, again, we see another level of, he must have done some, like, self-defense or something. Because he's...
Are you talking about the character or the actor?
Ian, the character. Okay,
right. Yeah, because he's, yeah.
He's beating people up. He's holding people at gunpoint. and people get killed.
Yeah. Quite a number of people.
Yeah.
Not by Ian.
But in this Ian episode, doesn't shoot anyone.
A lot of people get killed.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that at the very end, when the doctor's reaction to all of that, because it's a bit unusual.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now... they step out and the planet's all like dusty, and the doctor kind of deduces that they're at some kind of museum because the ships that they're seeing outside, they're all like from different eras.
Yeah.
And so the doctor's like, this looks like someone's collected these. Ian figures out that they're not leaving footprints. So first red flag.
Yeah. And I'll tell you how you know it's a red flag. Because he says, we're not leaving any footprints. And immediately the music's like, da-da-da!
Yeah.
Then why aren't we leaving any footprints?
Actually scared me, because it was just normal conversation and then just this barrage of music. I was like, okay, I get it. That's important.
Now, when they discuss going towards the building, so they've looked at... they looked through the TARDIS TV screen and yep. They're like, there's a building out there and there's ships and whatever. So when they go outside, the doctor's like, we'll head towards that building. And then he says, let's stick together.
I'll write this down.
So they chose, I mean, it, regardless of their intentions, it happens anyway, but they chose not to split up this time.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally, we've decided.
Well, yeah. I wrote it down. He said, this is a dangerous situation. So as always...
He did say, as always, which is not true, but let's
stick together. Oh, like, never? Literally no episodes. And you know what's funny is, depending on how you interpret the way that time works in this episode, splitting up may have been what saved them this time.
Yeah.
So as funny as it is him saying, let's stick together, that was actually the wrong option.
Yeah. No, that's right. No, I didn't think of that. Like, if they had stuck together, maybe the situation the Doctor finds himself in later... maybe all four of them would have been together at that point.
Yeah. Their demise might have been inevitable.
So they approach a door and it opens and they see people.
Yeah.
And Vicky has a very, like, she goes to sneeze and Barbara's like, holds her nose for her.
Because they're trying to hide.
And then she sneezes and the people walk past and it's like, they didn't hear it at all. And they were speaking and we didn't hear what they were saying at all.
You couldn't hear any words.
So it's almost like they've been, they're invisible.
Yes.
But not just the TARDIS crew invisible to everyone else. The sound that's coming out of everyone else can't be heard by the TARDIS people.
Right.
So they're kind of on different timeline-y things. They walk into the museum and what do they see?
Well, they see a number of things like weapons in glass cases and different things. And they're walking around looking at all the exhibits like you would at a museum.
Mm.
And then they see themselves. A space
museum. Oh, no, before that.
Oh, a Dalek.
A Dalek.
Sorry, gotcha, yes.
So they seen a
just forget what I said, spoilers.
A Dalek. And it says Dalek from Skaro or something, or Planet Skaro.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, and Vicky's heard of the Daleks.
Yeah.
So she hasn't seen one, but she's heard about them in history books. So obviously by her time, I guess they did invade Earth that one time.
Yeah.
In 2150. So, yeah, in fact, fun fact, while they were making this episode, the production for Doctor Who and the Daleks was underway. So they were both happening at the same time.
So we watched it at the opportune time.
Yeah. And also, this was peak Dalek insanity time.
Right.
So people were waiting for their return.
Okay.
So the two episode, the episode and the movie, they kind of help ramp that up as well.
Yeah.
But the Dalek casing appears to be empty.
Yeah. Importantly for later.
And I put, they have a good Dalek chat.
Yes.
And then
Ian explains, we were actually there during the invasion of Earth.
Oh, yeah. He said that's one of the times that they visited. And Vicky's like, it seems kind of friendly. yeah, because it's empty. The thing that would kill you without a thought is not in there right now. So, of course, it's friendly. Then they have to hide. More people are walking through. Again, I thought it was just a poorly hiding thing. When if you just hide behind a box, people look everywhere except behind the box.
Yes.
But
even at the beginning when the doors open.
Yeah.
And they say, quick hide. The people are 10 feet away. They've seen you by then if they can't see you.
Yeah.
It was too late.
But I guess that kind of makes sense because it made me think, I was like, this is terrible. But then I guess later on it's just that they couldn't see them at all anyway. Yeah.
Maybe that was meant to hint at it.
Yeah.
But we're just so used to them hiding where they're obviously there that we didn't pick that up.
Then they do a bit more exploring and Vicky puts her hand through one of the exhibits.
Yeah.
And she's like, Doctor, come over here. And she's like, I tried to touch one of the exhibits and he scolds her because he's like, I told you not to touch anything.
She needs a smacked bottom.
She's a jolly good one at that.
What you need is a jolly good smack bottom.
But and Barbara's like, oh, settle down, Doctor. She looks upset. Barbara knows how to manage these people now.
Yeah.
The Doctor should show her how to fly the TARDIS.
Yeah. Barbara and the Daleks should have been the movie.
Yeah. Except that character got three lines in that movie.
That's true.
So Ian puts his hand through, and I think that effect was quite good. I don't know how they did that at that time.
Well, I think they must be doing something where they're overlaying two shots, because I figure that's how they make the TARDIS disappear.
Yeah, you know what I thought it could have been? They could have had something kind of clear in front of the camera lens,
yep.
The picture on it, because when their hand goes through it, it does kind of go a bit opaque.
Right.
Before it comes back out. So I was like, oh.
Maybe that's what they did.
Very good.
But it looks good.
And so then they start to put everything together. And the Doctor's like, so are we even really here? So they find the TARDIS. And Vicky's like, well, let's just leave. They're all just like, well, let's just leave. But the Doctor just walks through it.
Yeah.
And so that's when he kind of is like, we must have jumped to time track.
Yeah.
So time track, is that what he's called it?
Yeah. And that's also how they refer to it throughout the rest of the episodes as well.
And that's that's the thing that comes up.
Again.
So I was like, ooh, hello, time tracks.
So this is the first time we've seen this.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly say, the creepy music when the Doctor tries to touch the TARDIS in the museum and he walks through it was excellent.
Yeah, no, it was good.
I love that music.
Because I don't think at this point they've seen themselves in that, the four of them in those...
Like a glass case.
In the glass case. That's the next room that right. they see that. So that's what they see beside the TARDIS. And he immediately is like, all right, so we have to... Like, he spent so much time being like, you can't mess with time. And now he's just like, to avoid our deaths, let's just mess with time.
Yeah. Let's literally take the information we have because time is messed up
yeah.
to our own advantage.
And I love the fact that they all kind of freeze. And this leads into the next episode because
mm-hmm.
the doc, they all feel a bit funny and the doctor's like, that's because we're technically arriving now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where suddenly their footprints do appear in the dust.
Yeah.
And then when they come out of their trance, all the events that led them up to that point have occurred.
Yeah.
And the TARDIS, the ghost of the TARDIS isn't there. None of their, like, future selves being trapped in the glass cases are there. But they now have that foreknowledge.
Yeah.
And they're in the now. It's like, what?
It's very good.
And I was like, as a story mechanic... Very good.
Yeah.
Now that we can hear the bad guys...
Yes.
I mean, we don't know that they're really bad guys. Well, they are. They turn out to be bad guys.
Spoilers.
We learn about some of them. So we have... at first, I was a little bit disappointed because we again have kind of like two warring races.
Yes.
Moroks are the ones that...
Have taken over.
And so we have one which are kind of like the original owners... Which are the Xerons.
Oh, yes, because it made me think of Xerox.
Yeah, X-E-R-N, Xerox.
And they're from Xeros.
Yes, Xerons from Xeros.
Yeah.
Now, how can you tell the two apart? So the Moraks are the ones that have invaded.
Yes.
And the Xerons are the ones who are from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the identifying physical traits of those two races? Those two... Species? I think there might be different species.
The Moroks have, like, very kind of space military type outfits, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And very bold blonde hair at the top.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost look like it's gelled up.
And it's kind of, like, receded. Can you know how people start to go bald?
Yeah. Whereas the Xerons, did you say with an N?
Xerons.
They kind of seem like younger, fitter people.
Yeah.
Well, actually...
I think they're supposed to be the younger Xerons.
Or the youth of...
Them. The youth of the Xerons.
But they just look like, I guess, regular young people.
Yeah, except they have massive eyebrows.
You know what's so weird is I don't even remember that for some reason.
You know what? I'm going to have to show you a photo because I couldn't get away from it. It almost looks like they've got two sets of eyebrows. They've got, like, the one regular eyebrows like you have.
Oh, yeah.
And then they've got, like, another set above those.
Oh, yeah.
They've got, like...
It's almost like a Star Trek sort of a forehead, isn't it?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even...
You have to go back and watch, because the one that's in charge, I think it is Tor.
Yeah.
He... It's significant eyebrows.
Okay.
We meet those two groups.
Yep.
And we also meet the bored museum curator.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Lobos.
Yes.
And, I don't understand why they took over this planet. I mean, I understand...
They need a place for a museum, Matthew.
Yeah, but they also seem very dismissive of, I guess, life. Because they were just like, we'll just kill everyone.
Well, one of them is... They start off by talking about how long they've been there and how much they hate being there.
Yeah, so don't be there.
And he says to them, I know that you've been forced to be here. It's almost like a... community service thing.
Yeah, and Lobos himself, he's like, I volunteered to be here.
Yeah, and I hate it.
Yeah. So, they've obviously taken over this planet, and they've killed wiped out all the adults. And the only ones we meet are, like, the young men. But well, I assume there's more of them out there.
I was just going to say to you, because I only realized now, thinking about it, we don't see any females from either of these species ever.
No.
It's just men.
It's just men.
The 60s, well, right?
The 60s.
They're the only ones who'd be working.
Whoa.
Well, is that what they're insinuating?
Are you saying actors? Are you saying females coming
out? No,
actors?
I'm...
Because look at Barbara, Jaclyn Hill. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that in the 60s, it was not uncommon for the woman in the relationship, for the married couple, to not work.
Yeah.
So they've just assumed that even in the future, that's the same.
Well, I guess this group of invaders,
yeah,
they're military, kind of. I mean, they're awful at it, but they're military.
I guess so.
If you were writing a story, you'd have male soldiers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then for the Zerons, I guess similar case. There's probably females on the planet somewhere. We just don't see them.
Yeah. But it's not a big deal, because I didn't even realize it till now. It's just weird now that I think about
you
it.
Wouldn't, would you?
Well,
I'm just kidding.
With the Daleks and the Thals, we see lots of female Thals.
Yeah.
We see lots of females in all the other different species throughout different storylines.
Yeah, I think this is just because these are... You only meet a few of them.
Maybe it's Glyn Jones. He's a bit sexist. Disclaimer, we're just joking. Please
the 60s don't sue us.
Oh!
So
the Zerons have discovered the TARDIS crew.
Yeah.
And say to themselves, we could use their help, possibly, to try and take back the Space Museum.
Yeah.
Let's try to kidnap one of them.
Yeah.
Either the young girl, being Vicky.
Yep.
Or the old man, who was the doctor.
Yeah.
So they start with the doctor.
Yeah, because what's easiest, kidnap an old man?
Yeah.
And he pretends to faint when they kidnap him.
Yes.
Which I was like, perfect. So he's clever.
You know, it's funny because at first, when he's moving his eyes around while he's on the ground, I thought, is this just William Hartnell not doing what he's supposed to be doing, because we've seen that before? But he was actually acting how he should have been. You know what I'm saying?
And before that, they were trying to figure out where... They're trying to retrace their steps back to the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, because they've jumped forward in time a bit, they can't quite remember how to get back.
Yeah.
And the museum's obviously like a massive maze. But I just wrote...
Like IKEA.
Only listen to Barbara for directions. Like, the rest of them are all arguing, and she's like, this way, I'm just like, just listen to her.
We can even simplify that. Only listen to Barbara. Ian can fight, he's the brute. You have the young girl there to make the doctor happy, because he gave up his grandchild for some reason.
No, he just adopted a new grandchild.
You need him to fly the ship. But Barbara is the one who does everything else, please.
So then when the doctor is kidnapped, the three rebels, the Zerons, they're like, let's go, you know, he's passed out.
Well, they leave one of them behind to watch over him.
Yeah.
And he obviously overcomes him because they think he's fainted.
Yeah.
And so the next thing you come back, he's passed out.
Yeah.
The Zeron.
Which is like... Cool. The doctor just knocks someone out.
Yep.
And then...
Again, off screen.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, you can't show the doctor hitting anyone with a cane. Remember that one time?
Yes.
That was so good.
And how boldly he stood there. Like he was sword fighting.
He didn't have his cane on him, though.
That's true.
So he must have used some... Whatever the third doctor uses. Aikido or something. Anyway, we'll find out. Because it comes up.
Okay.
He's all like, what the hell? He's pretty cool. He's one of my favorite doctors.
Well, the second one is a flute, so it already sounds better than
recorder.
That. Yeah, they're much better.
That thing you learned how to play that in school.
That's my point. That thing you give children to entertain themselves.
Yeah, well, maybe he's like a child.
Hmm.
The doctor was in the Dalek.
Yeah, so the other two come back and they say, what happened? And he said, I don't know. He must have taken off. So they run off and then... I love
the
that
doctor
scene.
Gives such a, like, he's so impressed by himself.
But he also imitates the Dalek.
I fooled them all. I am the master.
Yeah. He's also moving the plunger back and forth.
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Be funny if he accidentally shot, like, the beam, the gun as well. Ooh.
Great
and
scene.
When he leaves that room, he's still chuckling to himself up until a Morak guard finds him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh.
So now he's caught by the other species.
Yeah. So he's met both sides now.
Yep.
And while that's happening, Ian, Barbara and Vicky, they're walking around because they're like, we have to find the Doctor or the TARDIS or, you know, both of them.
And they're also arguing about what should we do because we don't want to end up in that situation where we're in the glass case.
Yes, because they've seen their future and like we need to avoid that future.
But they don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
So.
And they're wondering if, because the Doctor's no longer with them, has that already changed the future?
Right.
Then they're getting a bit lost. And so Ian's idea is, well, we'll leave a thread.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tie something up here and we'll just keep releasing threads wherever we go. So we know where we've been.
Right.
But he's like, takes Barbara's cardigan.
He's so weird in this scene. he doesn't ask her for it.
No, he just kind of grabs it and then...
And she's like, what the hell are you doing?
And then him and Vicky try and tear it apart. And she's like, don't I get a Sanus? And he's like, oh, yes, sorry, do you mind? And she's like, I mean, I guess not. Well, and then he tries to bite it. And I'm like...
And he also goes with it in his mouth.
Yeah, it's quite a good shot of him pulling it down over his teeth.
How do you undo this?
Oh, give it to me.
And she asked for a penknife. And so I put, oh, he just carries a penknife around.
And he didn't think to use that.
No.
See, Glyn Jones, I'm glad that the comedy was cut down because obviously him and, is it Dennis Cooper?
Dennis Spooner.
That's the right combination because this was good comedy.
Yeah.
They obviously cut out all the bad comedy.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that.
So it's possible to do it funny. That part and the Doctor in the Dalek were all good funny parts.
That's a good name for an episode. That part, the Doctor and the Dalek. And so they then start walking around. They tie up a piece of thread and they walk off.
Yep.
And then the Xerons are like immediately there and they're like, what's this thread?
These people aren't dumb enough to have completely just led us to where they are they?
Well, they go, they must have left it for the old man to follow. And they're just like, well, we'll follow it. In fact, I think that their phrase is like, it leads to somewhere, so shouldn't we follow it? Like,
great logic.
Yeah. They're like, it obviously leads to somewhere, so let's find out where it leads. It's kind of something like that.
Yeah.
And they just follow it.
Yeah.
And
the annoying thing is that dumb logic is correct. It works.
Yeah. Now, while they're all walking around, the Doctor is being held captive. That's what I've got is what happens next.
Yes.
And he's strapped to like, it's like a chair that like holds him around the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of free at the start and then he sits down and the chair kind of closes around him.
Yeah.
And then a secret wall moves up and there's Lobos is there and he's like, welcome.
It's kind of a clever way to get someone trapped in a chair.
Just give him a chair and hope they sit down.
Well, eventually they will.
Yeah. Or they'll lie on the floor. Yeah, that's it. Next time I'm trapped somewhere, I'm lying on the floor.
Next time?
Next time.
How often are you getting trapped somewhere? Who are you, the Doctor?
They have a conversation, and Lobos is all like, who are you, and where are your friends? And the Doctor's like, I'm not telling you nothing. And so he turns on a little screen, and I liked this bit too. I thought this mechanism was great.
I agree.
And he's like, tell me where your friends are. And the Doctor still doesn't respond, but the screen shows up from where he last saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lobos is like, go find them to some guards. And he's a bit like, haha, Doctor, I've got this thing. You don't even need to speak. When you try not to think of something, it will just read whatever's in your mind. So if I say, where's your friends? You would do everything in your power to be like, don't think about your friends. But then you are thinking about your friends.
And then it's on the TV.
It's on the TV. It was a very cool mind-reading device.
And in the future, they still have TVs from the 60s and 70s.
Well...
The kind of really big box and curved screen.
Moroks don't move on.
Well, it is a museum. Maybe that's all they had access to, was historic TVs.
that are connected to mind control, mind reader devices.
It's been repurposed.
He was like, the next bit was funny too, though. He was like, how did you get here? And then a picture of a penny farthing came on the screen. I was like, good work, Doctor.
And he's doing his insane Joker chuckle to himself because he's beating him at the game.
Yeah, and he's like, where are you from? And then all these pictures of, like, sea lions and stuff come up.
Yes.
Like, those are amphibians. You aren't an amphibian. And he's like, are you sure?
That's really
he's just really taking him for a ride.
So are you telling me that no one that's been previously strapped to that device has thought to try that? Or is it just that he's a different type of being, so he's powerful
I think he's
enough?
Just got a good mental capacity because he's a different
like strength.
Type of being. Yeah.
Right.
The guy's like, well, we're going to do a thing to you, and then that's like the end of the episode. Yeah.
And then we're on to the search.
Well, he tells him, you're going to become part of this museum. And the doctor's like, but I'm a doctor.
And I'm pretty sure it has the bum bum bum.
Now I'd like you. We've got return of our segment.
Yes.
Of our is it a segment?
It's thing we bring up randomly.
But for episode 3,
yeah,
you need to guess who's on holidays.
Doctor.
The Doctor. William Hartnell's on holidays.
And see, it's so obvious now because if I
he's not in it at all.
Well, yeah, but if I ever find myself wondering, why haven't we seen that character? Oh.
Well, I suppose if you're... They'd be filming all the time.
Yeah.
So eventually someone needs to have a break.
Yeah. You just got to find a way to write it into the show, I guess.
Yeah, and if you say this person might become a museum exhibit, it's a good chance of a holiday.
But it's pretty weird, you know, because nowadays... Well, okay, this is just randomly to explain my point, but at the moment I'm watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I assume that when you sign a contract for a season or two or whatever...
Like, you're on.
That's it. For 9 months or whatever it is, your holidays are when we're done.
Yeah.
We're not going to write you out of an episode. Just do the job.
Yeah, but I think the other thing is, maybe back then it was different, because there was... Remember, there was a very short turnaround between the end of season one...
Yeah.
...and the start of season two.
It was a matter of weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, they were just a bit relentless... You know, so you would, instead of being like, we're having 3 months, but, you know, or like a year between seasons,
mm-hmm.
it's just, no, the next season starts, but you can go on holidays.
We'll work it out. Because I do get the feeling they're writing these stories on the fly.
Yeah. Some of them are kind of similar. Mm. Or it's not like these days, it doesn't feel like you'd have these days where you have like a head writer for a season who's basically... deciding, all right, these are the significant plot points
mm-hmm.
that will lead to the season finale.
Like the overall vision.
Yeah. And then you have individual writers doing sets of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what's happened here is they've got a bunch of writers who are just writing episodes, which is why sometimes the themes overlap a lot.
Yes.
Where you've got like two warring species. Because obviously a lot of writers thought of that. They're like, mm-hmm. what if they go to a planet? And there's two warring species. One of them's called Species 1, and the other one's called Species 2. And you just fill in those blanks. Daleks, Thals, Zabi, and the other things.
And you'll never... Oh, this is going to blow your mind. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The guys who are in charge, it wasn't originally their planet, you see.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
But insects. But it's a space museum.
And they all probably thought, man, the Daleks took off. This is my life's work. And then the Zabis just died because it should have.
What's from my childhood that I can remember? Bees versus ants.
DM6. Now, remember that insane pesticide Dad used to use to kill all the things in the backyard? I'm going to write an episode about that.
We're up to the third episode. So the search. So, they're obviously searching for the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, they run out of thread.
Mm-hmm.
But they come across the TARDIS anyway.
Yeah.
And all the Moroks are outside the TARDIS. I think we skimmed over it, but the three of them have a gun.
Yes.
That was an exhibit, so I'm not sure if it's a working gun.
They broke it out. Well, not broke it out. They lifted up a glass case. And then Ian's like, woohoo, I'm going to be a cowboy. I've got this gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, you know how long ago that was?
That scene, yeah.
You know how long ago that was? The Doctor was still with them when they did that.
Yeah, and that scene is so funny because he's, like, pointing it at them. This alien gun that you've never seen before. And he's just like, check this out, Vicky. Like, aiming it at her. And he swings around and points it at the Doctor.
And he's not impressed.
It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we know you can fight, man, but just maybe you can't shoot a gun.
That's why I said he's the brute and Barbara's the brains. Because how dumb is that?
Yeah, it was interesting because he said something that was historic, though. And I was like, Barbara's the history teacher.
Yeah, what? He's a science teacher?
He's a science teacher. Need the science of Ian. He knows the science of fighting jaguar warriors. And leave all the history to Barbara, who knows that the Aztecs definitely changed their ways.
Mm. So he has a gun this whole time.
Yeah, but then they get snuck up from behind. And again, they immediately lose the gun.
Yeah.
Because Vicky was the one holding it at that point, I think.
Which is helpful. Ian's the one that wants to use it, appears to know how to use it, but he gave it to the young girl with them.
Yeah. So they're held at gunpoint. Ian, like, just walks up to the guy who's... These guys, how did they take over a planet? They seem awful at this whole job, particularly this one.
They're being held at gunpoint.
Yeah.
So Ian turns around to Barbara and Vicky and they start talking about a plan.
Got that. Yeah, good. Quick, let's have a chat while we're at gunpoint.
Yeah, there's like 2 minutes before the guy with the gun goes, hey, I want you to move. He just lets them talk. Yeah. What do you think they're doing? They're forming a plan.
Yeah, so good. Because the conversation goes for so long too. And it's like, we could do this. Oh, that's not going to work. How about this? It's like multiple plans. Like plan A is going to be like they actually come up. With multiple things.
Step by step. And then he's like, hey, I told you to move here.
And then Ian goes right up to him. And he does a clever thing. He's like, they told you to bring us in like alive though, hey. So you can't shoot us anyway.
Mm, yes.
And then there's a scuffle. They end up being separated. Because Barbara and Vicky run off. And Ian gets captured by two. For a very brief amount of time, because he's able to. He kind of bends down and flips them both over.
Yes.
And he takes them both down.
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them. And then where does he hide? Behind the TARDIS. He just hides behind the TARDIS. But I thought that was very cool. The shot's great.
Yeah.
This choreography. He's like, he's kneeing one guy on the stomach and he's punching another guy in the head. And
I wonder if the actor playing Ian said to the writers or the person making the show, like, this is boring for me. Can you give me some fight scenes? Yeah. So every episode he's fighting someone else.
Well, he does go on to do more acting after he leaves Doctor Who. So maybe he was like, I just want to show my range.
Right.
I'm a science teacher, but I'm also a fighter, you know?
Ooh.
I'm wearing this teacher style clothing.
Yeah.
But I can also knee someone in the stomach. Vicky comes across the Zeron.
Well, they kidnap her as well.
They kidnap her. After they're like, you're with the old man, right?
We also took him.
We also took him. And she's like, what? And she's like, you're just like them. And they're like, we're nothing like them. And I put, just look at our eyebrows.
Yeah. We don't look perpetually angry. So...
Very big eyebrows, but obviously different. Now, Vicky and her new friends, they tell her about, like, what's happened. So
the history.
She's learning about the fact that the Morok have come and taken over the planet. They've turned into a museum. And she's all like, why don't you just rebel? And they're like, we don't have guns. By the way, the people who have taken over the planet are idiots.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like the fact that they have weapons... Not a big deal. But, yep, sure, whatever. They've got all the weapons, so we can't rebel. We steal weapons every now and then, but then they make us give them weapons back.
Yeah, they take our people hostage until we give them back.
Yeah. So then Vicky's like, why don't you just go into the armory? And so they're like, oh, there's like a special secret computer thing that locks us out. So she's like, show me. So they head off that way. And one of the three rebels goes in search of Barbara.
Yes.
And does find her.
Hiding in a storeroom.
Yes. And before then, some Moroks come into that room first. and do the old look everywhere in the room except where she is, mm-hmm. and leave.
Yes.
And then that Zeron walks in and he's like, I'm here because we've got Vicky friendly, in a friendly way. We haven't, like, got Vicky come with us or else. We've got Vicky and she's helping us. And then I think a fire starts there, like, because it gets all smoky.
It's not a fire. It's the Zapfra gas.
Yeah.
They think it's a fire, and then they realize it's that gas.
Yeah. Barbara and Darko try to escape before falling under the gas's paralytic effects.
Which leads to my only gripe with the plot in this story arc.
Yeah.
Which is at the start of the next episode.
We're not there yet.
I know, but I'm just saying this is leading to my only issue with the story.
Now, Ian.
Yeah,
I'm back to Ian.
Yes.
He was still hiding behind the box, but there's one guard in front of the TARDIS, mm-hmm. and he takes him down very quickly and takes his gun.
He does a Metal Gear Solid stealth takedown. Do you know what I mean by that?
He throws something over there,
yep.
and the guard's like, oh, what is this? Classic.
Yeah.
Like, and my favorite thing is whenever you play a game like that and you throw something and the guard's like, did you hear that? What's that? And then they walk over. And if you miss your moment, you know, like you go, ah, there's another guard and they're going to see me. So you stay in your hiding spot and the guard who's looking at whatever, a rock on the ground, they're like, must have been nothing. Yeah, must have been nothing.
I don't know if it's Metal Gear Solid, but one of them, they often will say, must have been the wind.
Must have been the wind.
Constantly. Like, what are you, in a tornado? There's constantly rocks flying about.
Yeah.
They also never think, why don't I look from where it came from?
Yeah.
Someone's obviously thrown that. I guess they don't know it's a rock, but it always seems odd that they go, oh, I'll go to where it landed, not where it came from.
Yeah. Well, you just fan out everyone, wouldn't you? But, like, I heard a sound. Everyone, come here.
Wow.
I'd be such a terrible guard. Because I'd be like, if I heard a sound, I'd be like,
everyone!
I don't get paid enough for this. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Or just calling in the entire army. Everyone here now. And I heard something in the wind.
If I was with someone, I'd be like, can you go check that out?
I'll watch. I'm looking. I'm your lookout.
I'll cover you.
I'll cover you.
Vicky, she makes it to the armory.
Yes.
And they're like, the way it works is the machine asks you some questions and you have to give it the right answer and tell the truth. And we learn something about Vicky here, and that is she's quite good at hacking into computers, I guess.
Yeah.
Because she breaks into it and changes the questions.
Yeah.
And so instead of asking, I think it initially asks, like, what your name is. Do you have permission from whoever? Like, why are you going in here?
Yeah.
And she just changes it to, what's your name and why are you going in here? And she's like, to rebel.
Yeah.
And so she changed the settings so that you don't have to give it the answer at once. You just have to tell it the truth.
Right.
And they go in and they get all those guns.
Mm. Rebellion is afoot.
Rebellion is
afoot. Oh, revolution is what she says.
Revolution. Ian gets to Lobos, and he's like, you take me to the doctor.
Oh, yes. Oh,
shoot.
I'm a cowboy now.
Yeah, and he's like, won't you just shoot us anyway? He says, possibly, I might enjoy it.
Ian.
I was like,
what?
I think he's just trying to sound really intimidating.
Because who hurt you?
He's just trying to get... He's obviously just trying to sound scarier than I guess he is.
Right.
To just get his point across. And so he gets to the doctor and he's like, you wake him up. You get him out of that. And then I think it's the end of the episode.
And they basically tell him the process has already started. He's probably already dead.
Actually, the end of the episode is Ian looking directly at camera being like, doctor.
Oh, we don't see it.
Yeah. And but then we see it at the start of the next episode.
That's right.
Tor hands out all his guns to the Zerons.
Mm-hmm.
And
revolution's afoot.
They're going to attack the barracks. But one of them is also going to go with Vicky to try and help her friends. Tor sends Sita.
Her and Tor seem very...
lovely.
Which is why I was surprised that he sent her off with someone else.
But I guess he's the leader
mm.
attacking a force. It'd be like saying, like, you know, if you were a captain of a of a battalion and you're like, you guys go, I've got to help this woman. You know what I mean? Like,
especially with the smarmy face he just gave.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, can I explain why I have one problem with the writing in this episode?
Yeah.
And it's to do with where we find Barbara. Because the last thing we see is Barbara and the Zeron that she's with passed out from the gas.
Yes.
It starts with her waking up to help them escape again.
Yeah, I guess if you're on the ground, smoke goes up.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
The problem with the writing is they didn't know how to get Barbara out of this issue. They've written her into a corner. She's passed out on the ground. Mm. So what do? Oh, she just woke up. She's fine.
But she's also Barbara.
That's true. But it's paralytic gas that's still in the air.
That is true.
That's the only thing I was like, you couldn't think of one other way to get her out of that situation.
She wills herself out.
No, no, she was asleep and she woke up. That's not will.
Also, we've seen her in the Keys of Marinus where she got teleported to a cold place and just immediately went to sleep.
That's right. Before the man who loves the shoulders. The fair man.
Loves the shoulders.
Kidnapped her.
That's
the only problem I had with it. I don't know why they couldn't have just thought maybe someone else found them.
So they get out of that room, though.
Yeah, because she woke up.
And there's a guard outside immediately. He's like, stop there. And they're going to stop because they can barely move. And they get saved by the Zerons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get saved by Vicky and Sita. So the guard gets shot.
This is where the deaths begin.
Yeah. But it's interesting because he gets shot and then other Morok guards turn up and shoot two of the Zerons.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara and Vicky do an escape. Those two Zerons, they're not dead though.
Yeah.
So obviously the Zerons are using more lethal force than the Moroks.
Maybe the guns that are in the armory are lethal, whereas the ones they have as guards are just stuns or something.
Yeah, well, how good's that? You know, like,
well, they weren't expecting
murder everyone.
They weren't expecting revolution, I guess.
I guess not, but you also invaded their planet.
That's true.
So
and killed off an entire generation of their species.
Yeah. Also, I do think, you know, out of the context of the narrative, it probably doesn't look good if you murder a whole heap of children. I mean, they're not children, but they look very young.
They're youth. They even call them youth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
You don't want to murder a bunch of...
They're like teenagers.
Yeah. They all get back together. That's what happens next. So Barbara and Vicky make it to Ian and the Doctor.
Yep.
Because the Doctor's woken up out of his almost being museum exhibit experience.
Yes.
And the four of them are like, what do we do now? And they're having a good chat. And then suddenly some Moroks turn up. I think Lobos is there as well. And he's like, you've ruined us and we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Zerons just come and shoot both of them. And the Doctor's immediately like, like he's happy about it.
Yeah.
Like I'm great. I think he should be grateful to not be dead.
Yes.
But there's a lot of dead bodies around that building. And he's just like, oh, thanks.
Giggling.
Yeah.
He also, before those two guys die, and he's chatting to them about the experiments they were doing on him.
Yeah.
He has a hmm attack. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
You know how he goes, hmm?
Hmm.
There's about 30 seconds where every sentence he says, oh, you thought you had me, hmm? Oh, you thought you could do that to me, huh?
Sister, put you in there, hmm? Then you will have all the proof you needed. But you think yourself lucky. My conscience won't allow me to do that. Mm. It's a pity, isn't it? Mm. It's a pity.
Super sassy. Oh, you thought you had me dead. Mm. I was merely asleep. Mm.
Outside the room, that room that the four of them are in, he decides to flee the planet. This is Lobos. And orders the killing of all the prisoners. And just as the travelers are about to be killed, Tor and the rebels burst through the door and kill Lobos, freeing the Doctor and the companions. And then it jumps to a bit later. And they all, they do classic, we're out near the TARDIS, saying our goodbyes.
Yeah.
And so the Doctor is, like, talking to one of the Xerons Tor, because they're destroying the museum. And he's like, science, you know, don't let it go. And then he's Alexia, and he leaves Vicky and Tor to have a little moment. I was surprised. Like, I knew she wasn't leaving this episode, but I was like, this would be the perfect story for her to leave.
And he also loves to abandon grandchildren or faux grandchildren. Yeah. So now's the time.
And
I'm sorry, dear. You found some love here. Goodbye.
I see you growing up. One day I'll come back.
Oh, this is...
And Barbara, and you're like, how many times have you had this speech with
I had to leave Susan with an adult, but you found yourself a youth. It's more appropriate. So bye.
Didn't look more appropriate.
Yes. She also seems like she was older than Susan was.
She seems older than Susan.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have a nice moment, but there's a weird moment where she gets to the TARDIS door and she waves at him, and he does a really weird wave back.
It made me think of the movie.
Yes.
The Thal, who didn't know how to wave.
Yes.
At Susan. Susie.
Susie. Well, I guess maybe he doesn't know how to wave. They've never That's waved true. Before. And the box flies off.
Yeah. But I love the way that the Doctor explained the problem that got them there in the first place and why the time track thing happens. And he gives the analogy of a light switch.
Yes,
which
does.
Was perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you got into a room and switched on the light and had to wait for a second or two before the thing lit itself up. This is the same kind of problem, you see. We landed on a separate time track, wandered around a bit, and until this little thing clicked itself into place, we hadn't actually arrived.
It was good. An earlier version of this Doctor might have just been like, just wouldn't have explained it.
Oh, come along, child.
Let's go.
Yeah.
He does get cranky at Ian for a moment, but then Barbara's like, this is fine. And then we all go in the TARDIS.
Sorry, Mum.
But the Doctor takes a device from the museum.
Yes.
He takes a time-space visualizer as a souvenir.
Yeah.
And
I get the impression that's going to be important later.
Yes, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, no, I think so.
Which means it's not always around, because you'd know it from current day.
And then,
oh,
the end of the episode.
Yes, we haven't spoken about the true ending.
We cut to...
The Daleks.
The Daleks. A Dalek.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. They only had one on set. The rest were doing the movie.
That's right.
The rest were like,
we can only spare one.
See ya, buddy. We're on to bigger things.
It'll cost you one lava lamp.
It's so free-flowing. Where are my pink curtains?
But it's talking to someone else, another Dalek far away. And they obviously they've obviously developed their technology.
Yeah.
To a point where they're tracking where the Doctor's going.
Mm.
And so they're trying to chase.
Oh.
Chase him. You know?
But you know what? I think this is an important moment to me from watching. What I mean
tell
is.
Tell us more.
Oh. I don't know the whole history of the show.
Yeah.
But to me, they've had run-ins with the Daleks at times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time that it seems like it's decided to become a mortal enemy of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think because
of the Doctor,
now
sorry.
There's been two moments. One where he's ruined their city.
Yeah.
And one where he chased them off Earth, basically.
Yeah.
Or blew up them on Earth or something. And now they're like, this guy's really screwing up our plans.
Yeah.
And also, because it's time travel-y, maybe he's already bothered them at other points.
That's true.
And at this point, they're like, you know, they've gone from that first episode when they had that first interaction, they're like, time travel is nonsense. And now they're like, we've got time travel.
Yeah.
And we're coming for you.
So by now, yeah, they're already deep into their hatred of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing that now.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I love these episodes.
One last thing before we get into that.
Yeah.
Ian once again gets knocked out.
He does.
In one of the fights. He is, by 60, he's done. He's done.
I wondered if the actor playing Ian in the movie just saw the scene where he was biting the cardigan and was like, there's my character.
That's all I need.
I don't need other any other notes.
I've seen this and Mr. Bean. It's on.
Put the two together and I've got Ian.
When was Mr. Bean? Was this...
This was pre-Mr. Bean. The first episode date was the 1st of January, 1990.
Oh, okay. So it's not nearly that old.
It's 90s. 1990 is the year that I was born. Thank you very much.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what? You're whatever.
Score. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I think it was excellent.
Yeah.
I don't think it was perfect, so I'm not going to give it like a 13 or a 12.
Yeah.
I think it's a 10.
A 10.
Which might be my... Oh.
Because that's David Tennant.
I think that might be the highest score I've given anything. I put this up there maybe possibly slightly above the storyline with the Aztecs. Because the Aztecs...
I can remember what I gave the Aztecs.
It had good characters, but this as a storyline and the idea of the time skip was excellent for me.
Yeah, I liked that. I'm going to give it an 11.
Ooh.
I'm Matt Smith, if you will. So, yeah.
Excellent. Good. Mm. Well done. Well done, Glyn Jones.
And Dennis Spooner.
Dennis Spooner. Yeah.
Okay, so the next episode's The Chase.
Okay.
So we'll do two parts, two halves. Yes,
because it's six episodes.
And it's...
dense. Lots of conversation, dense. I'm assuming. Much like Ian from Doctor Who and the Daleks.
It's dense.
Yeah.
Much like Roy Castle's Ian, it's dense.
If there's a lot of lore that gets expanded upon in that storyline, should we do two episodes at a time? Or do you think three would be fine?
I think three would be fine.
Okay.
Because the next set of episodes, the Time Meddler, has even more lore. Like, they're really... Oh. They lean into it a bit. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes, Queen.
If you want to know... If you want to keep up to date with what we're doing, we've got social medias, like Facebooks and Twitters.
Instagram.
YouTube. On Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And there's a link tree that has all that stuff in the episode description.
Yes.
They all have highlights with videos.
Yes.
So it's really good to watch them because they're really funny.
Yes.
Because of your editing, not because of anything that I've said.
No, we put it's a good time.
It's a team effort, everyone.
Yes.
I talk, and that's all I do. And then we've got an email, and it's thefanandthefool@gmail.com.
Yes.
So send us anything. We'll take anything at this stage.
Yeah. I'm still up to date on our zero email, so thanks, everyone.
Check the junk folder.
I have.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
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 He's reversed the polarity!